Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. Busy hour on tap here. We'll get into today's Major League Baseball card coming up in 15 minutes. Huge signing today for the Lakers. Bottom of the hour, we'll react to NBA free agency. And here, more analysis and bets to give out from VSiN's NFL betting guide, which came out yesterday. You can go to VSiN.com/subscribe to get it. And we head out here to the Progressive guest line as Ryan Heath joins the program now with Fantasy Points. Ryan, thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, really excited. NFL season is almost here. So yeah, just getting into gear, really excited to talk some props today.
You have some incredible analysis and it's multiple pages in the guide. And we'll get to those coming up here in a minute. A lot of the bets that you have and recommendations. Before we do that, like for the audience right now who want to do their own handicapping and they want to look at player props throughout the entire year, what are some of the key metrics that you look at when it comes to either running backs or receivers with their yards?
Yeah, so there's a lot of metrics you can look at. At Fantasy Points, we have an entire data suite that's kind of dedicated to just analyzing players in a numerical way like this. But yeah, some of my favorite stats for receivers are yards per route run, which gives you a good idea of how efficient they'll be on a per route basis. If you think an offense might be higher or lower volume, that can give you an idea to kind of project out how many total yards they'll end up with. I also really like looking at design targets and screen targets because those can always change around when there are different offensive coordinators coming into different teams. It's one really easy way that different receivers' usage will change. And then kind of similarly with running backs, just really the guys that have commanded volume in the past most often will continue to do so in the future. So that's kind of like a quick little overview of what I care about the most.
And very good. And I want you to expand on that one with wide receiver screens, because I thought your analysis with the DJ Moore prop for season-long yards was absolutely superb. So go ahead, explain to us and the audience why you like DJ Moore under 1,500 receiving yards on the year.
Yeah, so last year, an insane amount of DJ Moore's production came on these designed and screened targets. He averaged 2.4 of them per game, and it was a lot of his receiving yards as well. If you take out all of his screen plays, then he only averaged about 42 receiving yards per game, only about 716 receiving yards on non-screens over the full season. And obviously now with the Bears, Ben Johnson is coming in. We have seen him kind of split up his screen targets between his running backs and his wide receivers a lot more than we saw with the Bears last year. So I would kind of expect rookie wide receiver Luther Burden to get involved on screens, perhaps DeAndre Swift getting involved on screens again. I just don't think that Moore is going to see all of these kind of Mickey Mouse touches that he saw last year. And yeah, that just adds a lot of volatility to him and makes him kind of risky in terms of projecting him for over 1,000 yards. So that's ultimately why I like the under there. We have him projected below 1,000 where the prop is. So was a pretty easy bet for me.
Okay. Couple that caught my attention. I found interesting. Number one, what do you think McMillan can do? The rookie from Arizona out of Arizona with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, no, I think McMillan can be amazing. He really kind of fits perfectly into this Carolina offense because Bryce Young just did not have a reliable target on the outside at all last year. Young had a lot of throws kind of that were on target that our film charters will watch and grade as, okay, this was an on target throw. And then his receivers just dropped them, right? Xavier Leggett and David Moore were two of the worst receivers in the league last year in terms of drops from outside. His receivers dropped the most air yards in the NFL last year. So it just makes a lot of sense that eighth overall pick, Tet McMillan, is going to come right in and immediately just play a full-time role. Also, really importantly, wide receivers that have gone top 10 in the NFL since 2021 have averaged just over 1,000 receiving yards as rookies, right? And McMillan's prop is down at 800 yards in most books. So that was a pretty easy over for me.
Okay. and got lost in the season last year, that the bad season that the Jets had. Adams did put up some huge numbers. Kupp leaves. Puka's a star. What can Adams do with Stafford now that he becomes a Ram?
Yeah, Adams can be awesome this year. He showed really no signs of decline kind of in any of his underlying metrics last year. So I am not really afraid of him in terms of him being too old or falling off the cliff. And in this Rams offense, we have already seen like a proof of concept of two wide receivers coexisting and just consolidating all of the targets. Last year here with the Rams, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp combined for a 67% target per out run rate, essentially. No other Rams player with over 100 routes was targeted on more than 12% of their routes. So really almost any time that Stafford dropped back with Nacua and Kupp on the field, it was going to one of the two of them. They both ranked top five in targets per out run. We've seen Adams do the same thing alongside Garrett Wilson, who is just as stiff target competition. Adams top five in first read target share last year. All of our kind of separation charting looked much better for Adams last year than it did for Kupp. Kupp really was kind of falling off down the stretch, and Adams, as I said at the top, is really still playing kind of at the top level of his prime. So yeah, I really like Adams this year. I went over 950 receiving yards for him and feel really great about it.
Right. Excellent. Yep. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Ryan Heath, he's with Fantasy Points, also has a ton of bets that we're going over right now that you can find in the NFL VSiN betting guide, available right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. We'll get to some of them here, but we're not going to get to all of them because he has a ton of pages in the guide itself, and also like a recommendation for every single team. RJ Harvey to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Why are you so high on him?
Yeah, so this one is very much like a Sean Payton take. It's just how the Broncos head coach Sean Payton has always used his backfields. Going back to like 2011, he's almost always ranked like first or second in running back usage through the air. And that just fits exactly what RJ Harvey can do, right? He's an extremely explosive pass catcher, very athletically similar to Reggie Bush, which is kind of fun. He's actually the first running back that Peyton has selected on day two since Alvin Kamara. So I think the Broncos have really big plans for Harvey this year. And if that's the case, then in a rookie class where there is not like a standout quarterback, it kind of makes sense to me to take these longer shots on some of the running backs that I think can be surprisingly productive immediately as rookies. For Harvey to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, we'll probably have to see either like an Ashton Jeanty injury or Jeanty to just disappoint and the Raiders in general to disappoint. But that is not out of the realm of possibility. And yeah, I mean, you're getting around plus 3,000 on RJ Harvey at most places, so I just really like that bet.
Okay, this one's great. Offensive Player of the Year, Bowers 60-1. So he had lousy quarterbacks, and he still had 112 catches for over 1,000 yards. I'm not saying Geno Smith's a Hall of Famer here, but state your case here for what Bowers can do and the numbers he can put up in order to cash this ticket or be in the mix, please.
Yeah, so just to drive home how amazing Bowers was last year, he averaged 2.11 yards per route run. That's the most by a rookie tight end in the history of Fantasy Points data tracking these statistics. And also, even more impressively, the rest of the Raiders receivers averaged just 1.12 yards per out run, which was third lowest in the NFL. So kind of the difference between Bowers' efficiency and the rest of the team just really sticks out and suggests that he is one of the biggest like alpha target dominating tight ends that we have ever seen. If anybody is going to give Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski a run for their money over his career, it is going to be Bowers. And yeah, Geno Smith, I am generally a believer. He has been excellent over the middle of the field, especially. Had a very high target share to the slot where Bowers often plays when he was playing with the Seahawks. So I think just my favorite way to bet on Bowers this year is to just go for that long shot offensive player of the year bet. It's 60-1, as you said. It's just kind of a fun one to have in the portfolio.
There we go. We're only scratching the surface here with Ryan, and you can follow him on X. He is at RyanJ_Heath with fantasy points. You can get all of his analysis and all of his recommended bets in the guide when you go get it. It dropped yesterday, available at vsin.com/subscribe. Ryan, thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. And he was on the Progressive guest line.
It's available. Get it now. Over 90 pages. Oh. Team preview, win total breakdowns, best bets from everyone, player props, betting projections, MVP, rookie of the year. It's part of our football special. Lock it in through the entire season. 175 through the Super Bowl. 175. Every guide, every best bet, every host, every guest, 24/7 videos, all the data and tools at vsin.com. It expires at the end of the month. Go grab it now. Tell your friends. 175 for the full season. vsin.com/subscribe. Sign up today. vsin.com/subscribe.
I don't know which is my favorite one there with the breakdowns. The R.J. Harvey offensive rookie of the year thing, I mean, as soon as he was drafted, that was kind of a popular thing, but I can absolutely get behind that. Bauer's 60-1. What's he have to do?
Got that. Yeah, that's... Well, can he? What if he has like 130 for
1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns?
Yeah, right.
As a tight end?
You can't stop it. Keep throwing it to him.
I know. We'll get into Major League Baseball up next. He has cashed in on this prop in 10 straight games. Find out the player coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We have baseball games beginning this hour. Some game twos, by the way, Paulie. And looks like we're going to get Cease and Sanchez in Philadelphia here anytime with the first pitch. And Philadelphia at circa $1.40 right now, as high as $1.52. Open up in that same range around $1.40. I can't get behind Dylan Cease. Sorry, can't do it. I just don't buy into him. He's been awful on the road. And Sanchez, 11 Ks in his last start in Houston. Astros are very good against lefties, and he was dynamite against them. I look at his outs prop tonight over. He's gone over 17.5 outs in five straight starts. He had 21 twice and 24 in the other game.
Yep, throwing out game one, the Padres have been scuffling at the plate. Wheeler shut them down. Love the Phillies tonight to get the split, and Cease just horrendous on the road going back the last nine starts. Schwarber has great numbers against him as well, also hitting .429. Give me the Phillies.
You want to say the same thing about the Brewers? Give me the Brewers here?
I'll go first five. I'll play it that way. First five. And do we have a pitching change with the Mets, or is this guy just going to go the first inning coming up here?
That will be, because it's Brazoban.
Yeah.
He'll go the first inning.
And the other guy in?
And then they'll bring in is it Tidwell?
Yeah.
Yep.
Tidwell, right.
Yep.
But I got to back Mizorowski here. And again, opponents are 3 of 49 against him. I love this stat. He has as many wins as hits allowed. 19 strikeouts. See if he doesn't walk people, but he can control it and throw the gas 100 miles an hour. The Mets certainly are scuffling. Everything's going wrong right now. Plus the good news that the Brewers could get Woodruff back on Sunday. But all about the Brewers here, and first five to be safe. At a great, you're right with the price. It's crazy. Which, I mean, what they've lost 14 to 17 now, the Mets.
I know. I think Mike Palm, what he said, there might be something to that. Getting sucked into this on the Brewers, it seems too easy in this game. In order of appearance, Mizorowski Ks, 5, 6, and then 8. So it's gone up every single game. Innings pitched, 5, 6, and 5, and hits allowed, 0, 1, and 2. So I guess he's going to allow 3. Hits in this game against the Mets. Guy, he's like must-watch television.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so
I'm surprised by that one. And also the Blue Jays. Dogs at home tonight. I know Judge has great numbers against Barrios, but if they win, they're tied for first. Again, both teams in New York struggling. And this outside of that start against the Phillies, he's put up good numbers in his last five starts. So I think Toronto will get there with the bats again. Springer's been on fire. 12 for his last 26. And I'm riding with the Blue Jays in the big game coming up as they try to take out the Yankees again.
Flaherty takes on Gore. This is also game two of a doubleheader. Detroit pounded Washington in game one today. They scored 11 runs in doing so. Flaherty on the season, and it's not great. I mean, a 4.80 ERA. The FIP is not much better. The Ks are good, almost 11 Ks per nine, but he's allowing a bunch of home runs. In his last three starts, Jack Flaherty has allowed 18 earned runs and five home runs in that time. Yeah. The ERA on the road this year is higher than six compared to 3.8 when it's at home. The whip much higher on the road. Gore, I will point this out, having a fantastic season, he's had six or fewer Ks in four straight starts. But the Tigers can strike out a lot against good pitching.
Yeah.
So it's a stay away from me, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to.
I don't want any part of Flaherty. Been so bad the last couple starts. He's actually had a bad season, too. No way, no how.
Let me bring this up with the Angels taking on the Braves. Angels are a pretty good story right now.
Did it again. Number one ROI.
And Kikuchi goes.
Great on the road.
The Angels are great on the road.
Kikuchi, too.
I do not have him for being good on the road.
No, bad on the road. My
fault. He's awesome
opposite,
at home.
Opposite, my fault.
I got him 0-5 for nine starts, a 4-plus ERA. It's, by the way, at home, it's 1.12, and the whip is 1.63 on the road. But here's the problem. Kikuchi's kind of been hot at this point, and the Braves against lefties, oh, man, I had no idea it was this bad. They're 22nd in WRC+. They're pretty much the same in WOBA, which is 289. They have a 24% K rate against lefties. That's top 10, top 11, highest in the league. Their batting average overall is 224. That's full season. I broke it down also like over the last month. It's not much better at all. So they're not a very good baseball team. We're halfway through the season. I kind of expected to turn around at some point, but I'm not getting there, Paulie.
No.
The results are not there with the Braves.
You get Profar back, but after the suspension, but Angels are a great story, and they cashed a big ticket last night. The concern there is how bad he's been on the road, but don't want Atlanta, not at that price as well. But again, two favorites I can back. Certainly I'm with Mike with the Rangers. Henderson owns Eovaldi. He's hitting 800 against him in his career. But come right back with the Rangers. That was easy yesterday. DeGrom does it again, made one mistake. That's it. And Imanaga at home, been so good. Cubs have been so good at home. Cleveland scuffling at the plate. They've lost five in a row, and I think they'll touch up. Get some runs and touch up Bibee. So Cubbies run line and get a good price on the Rangers too tonight too against Baltimore.
Well, let me ask you this about the Guardians game. So Shohei goes tonight. ERA is 2.54 versus a 4.33 FIP. So he's been getting kind of lucky there. The FIP is, again, a much more accurate number of what should be happening. The BABIP is 209, batting average of balls in play. That's extremely low. That's part of the reason why. He has recorded at least 15 outs. Now, he's missed time throughout the year, but he's recorded at least 15 outs in every start since March 29th. That's eight straight. But he's recorded 17 or fewer in six straight starts. It's 16.5 tonight, juiced over. I want to concentrate on Bibee tonight. The outs prop is 17.5. Now, he's gone over that number, Paulie, in four of his last five starts. But tonight, it's juiced over as high as minus 150. So that means he has to go at least six innings. His splits look like this. At home, very good. 2.57 ERA on the road, which is where he's at tonight in Wrigley. 4.96 ERA on the road. Is he going to go six full innings against this Cubs offense tonight?
No.
I think that's probably worth a bet against.
Yep.
And then here's to pay off the tees, the guy that, you know, prop bettors have been loving now for a good month. Merrill Kelly goes for the Diamondbacks. He has gone over his K prop in 10 straight starts. He's 12-2 over his last 14. The prop is 5.5 again tonight. However, it's not plus money anymore. It's minus 140 in that neighborhood for what it's worth. Zach Gallen did strike out 10 Giants last night, and four straight starters have gone over their K prop against the Giants. I'm looking right now at vsin.com, brand new tool. We've teamed up with Ballpark Pal, and they have Merrill Kelly projected for 6.64 Ks tonight. And they made the number, they projected line was 6.5. That's different than their projection. They projected the line and also their number of Ks overall. They also projected the books to have a minus 105 on that number. It's plus 134 when you go over 6.5. So they think there's still value in betting him over 6.5 tonight. Much like they think the same with Jacob Mizorowski. Again, their projected line was 6.5. They thought that's what books would make it. but they're projecting Mizorowski for 6.69 Ks. And they also projected the odds at minus 111. It's plus 225. So to go over 6.5, they have an 87% value bet on that. So they think like laddering Mizorowski over 5.5 and over 6.5, I think would be worth it. And the same thing with Kikuchi tonight, because they projected the odds at 6.5 minus 103, but over 6.5 is 2-1. So they have a really high value on that going over for him.
No way I can take the Giants. You got to be on Arizona. They've lost 7 of 8. And again, Devers, 1 of 15, 11 strikeouts. You got swept at home by Miami. You beat Chicago 3-1. You lost that series. You lost 1-0. You just lost 5-2. And now you've scored 2 runs in the first 2 games of this series as well. Cannot hit. It's a joke. Major disappointment.
Yeah.
So much to like after they made that trade. And now they've lost 7 of 8 and can't do anything offensively.
I totally agree.
I mean, see, we're in July and Verlander doesn't even have a win, too. That's another thing. So I would say right back with Arizona with that one as well.
Well, it's a long season, right? Yep. I mean, just as it's looking good for the Cardinals, they take on the Pirates, they get swept, and they don't score a single run in the entire 3-game series.
Yep. Whoever you want to play the total bases or the props, at DraftKings, 2 total bases, $1.10 for Henderson. Mentioned hitting 800 against Eovaldi. You can go hits, total bases, whatever you want to do. Witt is plus $1.25. He's hitting 450 against Gilbert in his career, and he's been on fire, especially on the road. Mama's Pizza, baby. Over 10 locations. Get the tip jar out tomorrow. Send it in. Email ftm@vsin.com or tweet us as well. We'll go over your big tickets that can cash and your future tickets. Best pizza in Texas. We'll do Mama's Pizza tip jar coming up tomorrow. Send them in.
Yeah, there you go. Again, ftm@vsin.com. We'll also look at them on Twitter or on X, I should say, at VSIN Live and Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. I put in a cross-sport parlay yesterday that pays higher than 40-1. That's going to be in the pizzeria tomorrow. Looking ahead.
What's your biggest NFL ticket right now?
In terms of long shot odds?
Yes,
or
long shot odds. Yes.
It would be, it's the one that I have in the guide, but I don't want to say that one on the air because I teased it yesterday. So the second one would be the one that I bet yesterday, and that's 67-1 on Bucky Irving to win Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay, good.
How about you?
It would be Purdy, MVP.
30-ish?
Everyone had to pick one, and I threw Purdy out there.
Can you get not behind bad. Jalen Hurts higher than 20-1?
That's not bad. Yeah.
12, 14, 15 touchdowns maybe on the ground?
Yes. Tough schedule, right?
Possible one seed again, despite the tough schedule?
That's my angle with the Niners. Yeah. Easy schedule. One seed.
All right. We're going to react to the big news of the Lakers today, and people around the league are calling another decision completely reckless.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
The breaking news today in the NBA, in fact, not that long ago, is that the Los Angeles Lakers are going to sign center DeAndre Ayton to a contract. Paul, quite frankly, it's a move they had to make. And without it, it would have been a disastrous offseason. And as I said earlier, you're talking about a fringe playoff team then. I firmly believe that. But so now this kind of changes things. So, 'cause Ayton is a good ball player.
He had great numbers at the end of last season, too. So, yeah, he averaged 14 and 10.
Yeah.
Certainly, you had to keep LeBron. You also needed a center. And you also had to get this done because Luka's eligible for the max in August. So you needed an incentive for him to get that done as well. And you have to lock Luka up for the foreseeable future. So that's another reason why it had to happen. Unfortunate that they couldn't keep Finney Smith. So now we'll see what Pelinka and the Lakers can pull as they have to get a couple more pieces. But you're exactly right. They had to get this done. They had to do it. Good job for the Lakers.
Can they add some of these fringe guys who would be, you know, nice role players next year at contracts that are not going to be just? And it's tough, right? Because some of these contracts that you see every single year are like, wait, this guy's going to get how much money? And that's why I thought the Bucks did a good job. They signed guys to like minimal contracts in the last couple of days outside of the Turner contract.
Maybe you get Malik Beasley on a hell of an offer.
Dude, did he blow this, man?
Oh, I know. You see the deals that these guys are getting, and the year that he had. So, need another shooter, but need another center. But that's a pretty good team. You got Ayton, LeBron, Luka, Reeves. You can move that Hachimura contract with a pick and connect and get somebody. So, we'll see what Pelinka is able to pull off here. I think he's taken some unfair criticism. I think he's done a pretty good job, but Good. It also helps that Luka and Ayton have the same agent. So big move around the league. Yeah. Big news. Big Lakers had to have it.
They have to add some depth. I mean, that's the bottom line here. What did you make overall? I think I know what your answer is going to be to this. But what was your reaction to Mike Brown becoming the next head coach of the New York Knicks?
Well, all this, I mean, this just doesn't do anything for me. It's, you get rid of Tibbs, you wanted to hit a home run, and everyone said no to you, and you just had to settle. Settle's the word I would use.
They had no plan. They clearly had no plan.
They had no plan. You're going to lose the press conference. No one's excited. I know it helps out that everyone's been hurt in the East. You should be the second or third best team in the East. But is Mike Brown the guy who's, because the knock is that they didn't get enough out of the offense with what they added and gave up to get Bridges and you get Cat, and still the offense looked like that and it was still ball dominant in what Brunson did. Is Mike Brown the offensive genius to get that out of him?
Well, and then
I say no.
Who does he bring with in terms of like assistant coaches and like the offensive like mastermind, I guess, if you will, behind what the offense might look like? But I will point this out. It cannot be forgotten what he did in Sacramento a couple of years ago.
It was a great coaching job. I mean, I didn't think he was a good coach. The Lakers' tenure was a disaster.
Of course it was.
The second round in Cleveland was a disaster.
Yeah.
I was stunned. But he, being an assistant in Golden State helped him out. Yeah, he did a good job there.
Kerr loves the guy. Pop loves the guy.
And he was awesome in Sacramento. And I agree with Cohen. I think that was off air, but could have been on air. But I agree with Cohen that he was unfairly let go in Sacramento.
He never should have been let go. I mean, that's ridiculous. No. I mean, the team did not make a playoff appearance in 16 years. They were a total afterthought. Nobody cared about Sacramento.
Yeah. It was more of Fox, too, who didn't like him. And then they traded Fox.
That's exactly right. And so they were, they're the three seed? And Fox got hurt, by the way, in that series against Golden State. Otherwise, they had home court.
Right. They would have won.
I think they would have won the series.
Probably.
So they've gone from that to now a dumpster fire yet again, and they can't, they just, this moving parts and the piece that they put together, it's not going to work. And so he got an unfair shake there in Sacramento. So having said that, I mean, I guess the silver lining to me would be probably better than some of the other candidates that were out there. Because, I mean, if it wasn't Mike Brown, like, who's the guy going to be? But it also goes back to, what were you doing getting rid of Tibbs? Again, I was listening to Adam Schein on the way in today, and he tells you on the air that, you know, he loves the Knicks, big-time Knicks guy, lives in the city. He absolutely hates the idea still. He's livid that they got rid of Thibodeau, and they had no plan, and they didn't. And so, and it was all, James Dolan was definitely, you know, he's got his fingerprints all over this thing.
Absolutely, yep. I'll tell you what a blockbuster would be, a Woj-type bomb. What if Giannis isn't happy and asks for a trade now? After everything Milwaukee's done in the last couple of days, getting very creative. But this is, you know, you hinted at it yesterday. When this ends, and I don't know when it's going to be, but when Giannis leaves, this is just going to be a dumpster fire and a disaster because you're out of picks. You decided never to rebuild, and then you're going to have $50 million tied up to one guy because essentially that's what you're giving Turner now because you stretched Lillard. So this is one great article, ESPN.com. Quote, that's a move you talk yourself into in the boardroom in July when you have nowhere else to go and you turn a bad situation into a worse one. They're going to look at this in 2 years and say, what did we do? The analogy's been made by Windhorst and others on his podcast that it's like emptying your 401k, robbing Peter to pay Paul, and also taking out a fourth mortgage on your house and then buying a sports car.
Oh, first of all,
they are so set up that this is just going to be a disaster in a few years.
There's no way it's not going to be.
Because you're still like 18-1 to win the East after all these moves.
Right. Number one, I would put a lot of money on it that the report of Giannis not being unhappy, or being unhappy, I should say, is completely erroneous. I'd put a lot of money on that. I think that's, I wish I could say the word on the air. I think it's complete BS.
The leak from Lillard?
1,000%. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying it.
Okay.
So that said, again, to me, this has Shohei Ohtani written all over it in a worse way, potentially, for the Bucks. Angels got nothing. And you knew that they could have traded that guy for, my God, you name it. A team would have been willing to give it up for this guy, right? And there's at least one team in the NBA, I'd say more than that, that would give up the entire future with proven players to net Giannis in return. And they're not going to do that. The Bucks won't. So he's still in his prime. But what happens when they decide in 5 years when it's just a complete wreck and they don't have picks and Giannis is not in his prime anymore? They're like, well, we're completely screwed now. We can't get anything for the guy. So if they don't capitalize on this, and I
what do you think? What do you think about the whole thing? Turner's 8 years younger than Lopez, but they had same numbers. Now, but Turner makes three times as much money. And then essentially it's $50 million a year, though, because you stretch Lillard, which you can say what you want, but Lillard's was 25 points a game. So everything you gave up to get him and then all the assets and all the picks, he's gone, but he's still on your books for 5 years,
yeah.
And he was 25 points per game.
Can they add anybody else this year? I don't know if they're capable of doing that or not because of that stretching of the contract to make it work with Miles Turner. I do think the Bucks are actually kind of decent. I think they, you know, all things considered, up against it, they have a pretty good team in the Eastern Conference. And I think there's, and I mentioned this earlier, to me, there is no doubt a path where Giannis could win the MVP this year. I mean, down the stretch when Lillard got hurt and he's acting as the point, and his numbers were, what, almost 34 points, 16 boards, and 7 assists per game while shooting 60% from the field? He does that, he can win his third MVP. Now, is that going to be good enough to overcome the teams that are going to be ahead of them in the Eastern Conference? Who knows? I mean, this is all going to come down to health, by the way, of other teams.
That's true. The other angle is what happened to Indiana. And we played the clip yesterday from Brian Windhorst that I'd be furious and breaking stuff if I was a Pacer fan or with the Pacers organization. Or like Carlisle, specifically.
All right.
No one saw the Bucks creating salary cap space to sign Turner. And then they could outbid Indiana. And Minnesota giving Naz Reid 5 for $125 million. Flip things, and then Turner and his team could call their bluff and then say, well, we're not taking $21 million a year. Look at this now.
Right.
Because if they said all the right things about, hey, we went to the finals, we're going to do this, we're going to bring Turner back, and for the first time in 20 years, they were going to go into the luxury tax. And now that doesn't happen now. And then, hey, great job, great season, incredible. You almost won the finals, the title. You went to 7 games, and now it's our best players out, and we lose Turner now. And we don't have a center.
What happens if Halliburton doesn't get hurt and they win the title?
No, they are... Well, they're saying they bring him back. Well, even if Halliburton doesn't get hurt, they're saying they would bring him back. But that's, they can say that, but they can't prove it. But you know,
of course they can't.
But that's probably do that. But still, I don't know. I just don't. It's the same thing with Denver. The Kroenke thing infuriates me. You're worth $18 billion.
I know.
Go in the tax. This guy doesn't, how many years does he have left? He has one title. To me, that's unacceptable. You have a great chance to win a title this year. You made some good moves, but still, we shouldn't be talking about the Nuggets having lack of depth and not having a backup center or supporting pieces around the best player in the world.
I think Denver and Milwaukee are in the same boat. You at least have to get back to a finals.
Well, okay, but also what Milwaukee did, though, they also panicked. They were the one seed, got upset, and then they fire the coach, blow it up, make these moves, and everything didn't work out.
How about this?
But it's also bad luck. They traded Holiday, and then Holiday was immediately shipped out to Boston and made Boston bad.
Right. John Henson, former Milwaukee Buck, played at North Carolina. He was on Rob Perez's podcast today. He said the only deal that he knows of Giannis, for sure, absolutely said this is not going to happen. A few years ago, the Bucks were going to trade Chris Middleton for Jimmy Butler.
Oh, boy.
And Giannis said, absolutely not.
Like to have that one back.
Yeah, you think?
Oh, man.
We will get to in-pocket plays coming up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. Tough one last night. Joe Ryan was great. Malinsky special loses. As Mike Palm said, 0-2 pitch, hit him. Nope. Challenge, bring him back. Hits a home run. Twins had, I think, 2 hits in the 8th inning, and Twins get shut out and lose to the Marlins, who have now won 8 in a row, looking for 9 in a row to tie the franchise record tonight, already underway against the Twinkies. McIntyre, right around the corner with this. British Open Championship, 40-1. Ben Griffin, 60-1. This is in the guide. Coach of the Year, Raheem Morris, Todd Bowles taking a shot. I think one of those teams will win the division. And maybe you can surprise some people. We get 11-win season. And 49ers to get the one seed, 6-1 at Will Hill and Caesars. Coach of the Year is fun market this year. All right. Trying to get her on the show tomorrow. She's been on many times.
Oh, look at this.
Now, this
really?
Can't do it here. But I point this out. Try to make you some money. And I'm confident in this one. But for our friends outside of Nevada. 4th of July, right around the corner. Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Our gal, Mickey Sudo, local. She set the record last year. 51 hot dogs. She's won the contest 10 times. Now, in 2023, she ate 39 and a half, but as she told us, she was distracted by her challenger who came in with a lot of hype, and she was too focused on her and what she doing. Oh, look at that, another plate down, right? And that distracted her and contributed to her bad performance, as she said. But still, the bad performance was 39 and a half. So I think breaking the 50-dog threshold for the first time in the women's division last year, achieved her personal best. I think she bounces back again. Doesn't bounce back. Continues to get it done. Wins the title again. Give me the belt. It's 11-time champ after Friday. And she should be able to clear 44 and a half. And I love that Avella was doing stuff head-to-head and props with her husband, Nick. And also stuff with Chestnut as well. Go over 44 and a half dogs for Mickey on early Friday.
Have you seen the number for Joey yet? Oh, sorry, you got another bet.
Dad, nah. Oh, it's okay. I look. Yeah, I did. I had that. What do you have, Joey?
I saw 70 and a half.
Okay, 71 and a half.
71 and a half on DK.
Okay, he's minus 1800, and then you can bet without Chestnut. Bertoletti is $1.10.
They're going to do the PGA bet without Schefter, huh?
There you go. The menu's incredible up there. Will he eat 60, 65, 70, 75? Mickey, Jess, Chestnut combined, 116 and a half. Mickey and her husband combined, 92 and a half.
How about Chestnut on cross sport parlays?
Yeah. Yeah. He's minus 20 and a half dogs against Esper.
Would you rather lay $1,800 that he wins or $16 that he eats 60 plus? You can lay $4 that he's going to whack down at least 65 dogs. I don't mind that.
Yeah, something to prove, taking last year off with the controversy and what
That's
happened.
That's right,
yeah. And they're underway, no score in the third. I like to bet the Phillies $1.50, $1.40 against the Friars. It was anti-Cease, who has been dreadful on the road. 0-5 with an ERA of 6 and change last night on the road. I think the Phillies touch him up. Love Sanchez. Twinkies on the board already. So no score in the third, and you're in play 5.5 under minus 150.
Good luck, Paulie.
Thank you.
I played a couple of baseball parlays for tonight, some high price parlays. One of it, which was involving Mizorowski in the first five. So we'll see how that goes. Some pending stuff that I have. Bucky Irving, Offensive Player of the Year. Mentioned this earlier, 67-1. And Minnesota, but you got to get on board, pal.
No.
I don't understand why.
Good luck. I will not do it.
Is it because you're from there?
And you... Well, a little, yeah, that. And I, the pain.
Did you believe in Sam Darnold?
The pain threshold. No. How'd it end, though?
That has nothing to do with his bet. Nothing to do with it.
I'm not there with the kid, so.
Oh, McCarthy's going to be better than Sam Darnold ever was.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy, crown him.
They got better in
the
offseason.
Yeah. Tough division.
Tough division, tough schedule.
Sure.
Excellent roster. Got better in the offseason and maybe the best coaching staff in the entire league. Maybe.
You'll be better than the Bears. Yep. I'll say that. Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Card never declined. Earn cash back rewards. You love betting. Get paid to do so. Sign up today. EdgeBoost.bet. Promo code FTM. Deposit $25. Edge Boost will match your deposit. EdgeBoost.bet. Don't wait on that wire. Don't pay those outrageous fees when you go over your limit. EdgeBoost.bet. Go get it now.
You want some more K-props from the ballpark PayPal feature on VSiN.com.
Yeah.
This is great. I would highly recommend that you check this out every single day as part of your baseball handicap. Again, we've teamed up with Ballpark Pal. I subscribe there. Now you can check it out at VSiN.com. Become a VSiN subscriber at VSiN.com/subscribe. I mentioned the Mizorowski earlier. They think there's value on the plus money over 6.5. Also with Kikuchi over 6.5 at the plus money odds when it's 2-1. Will Warren, their projected line that books were going to put out was 5.5. Now they project him overall for 5.45 strikeouts and plus 112 with the odds over that number. But you can get as high as almost 2-1 and over 5.5. So again, this is based on the number that they would make it and the number that you can find to bet on at sportsbooks. They think that Warren at around plus 188 over 5.5 is worth a bet because they made it plus 112. Hunter Brown, they made it minus 117 over 7.5. You can find plus 138 at the time of this was being published. And that's 28% plus value there with the bet on the numbers that are available. And for Merrill Kelly again, who has gone over 10 straight K props, it's 5.5 again tonight.
Yeah.
They actually think there's value in 6.5.
You can put Devers down for 3.
Okay. So because the number is plus 135 in that neighborhood, they made it minus 105. That's plus 19.85% of value per their numbers. And you were saying this during the breakout total bases?
Yeah, our buddy Andrew reached out. If there's a difference of 2 or more, it's been doing well with that, with those props. And you go and check that out. That's interesting. 5 games in the WNBA tomorrow. Caitlin Clark involved, excuse me, her team involved, she will not be. She'll miss her 4th straight game against the Aces. And that was their Prime Video game, Amazon Prime Video game.
That's got to be in Indiana, yeah.
Yes, it is, against the Aces. So she's not playing again. The big win yesterday, 4-1 on the money line, and still waiting for the Sky. Chicago doesn't play till Sunday. This incredible run by Reese. And great call by Doug Kazarian about Johnny Avello putting up the rebounds, offensive rebounds, but that her rebounds are too low. And she's had 15 or more in 4 straight games. What's the analogy here? As Chris Moneymaker was already eliminated at the main event. It's a big reason for the success and the popularity, but I don't think does he have a cash? It's just the guy never did anything after winning it again. That was it. Jamie Gold would play.
Is it Coco Gauff getting bounced?
No.
I don't know. I'm trying to come up with stuff.
I mean, the guy, it's interesting how he's responsible for the poker boom and the name and Moneymaker and accountant. A guy wins the main event and here he can't do it. He hasn't won a damn thing, done anything since then.
It would be Caitlin Clark turning into a total flop in the WNBA.
Maybe. Not bad.
Right, because she was given all this, like, you know, everything changed because of her. The private flights all of a sudden, more money, television ratings through the roof, yet people still hate her for some reason, which makes no sense. Did you see this? They ranked her, players across the league, ranked her as the 9th best guard in the... Again, they have no idea what they're doing in this sport. It's so bad. By the way, they're catching 3.5 at home tomorrow against the Aces without her. There's going to be a letdown. Did you see the way they celebrated last night?
They were getting into it.
Oh, yes, they were.
Getting after it, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they caught something here without her, and they've learned how to play. I'm going to say that's a 1-game sample size, and the Lynx were just terrible in the game.
I would expect a bounce back from Minnesota, although it's a big number probably against Washington. What's that number? Let me look.
Yeah, they're laying a dozen.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. That offensive performance. Yikes. It's a 2-year deal for Ayton, by the way, too.
Is it?
Good job. Yeah, 2-year deal.
Well, now, again, they got to put together a couple of other players on that team. The Western Conference is going to be absolutely loaded for like the 25th straight year.
Yep. First player to average 10-10 in his first 7 seasons since Dwight Howard.
I think, by the way, we had Doug Kazarian in studio, and he asked the question, like, can it work? Like, will it work with Luka and, like, Ayton being the lob guy?
That's not really his game, yeah.
It's not really his game overall, but...
Good shooter, though.
Yeah, he can bring you out from 15 and knock it down in your face.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think that that's the kind of the piece that they needed. I do agree that Mark Williams would have been the better fit.
Yeah.
And then the physical was failed.
I'd like to know the reason they did that.
Me too.
He was pissed. The agent was pissed. He tweeted a happy face after they got eliminated, and then Phoenix acquired him.
Stay tuned. VSiN Primetime next for 4 hours with Matt Brown and Mark Melusis. Following that, cashing out, and then wake up with Dave and Jensen in the morning. VSiN by the Bucks. Good luck tonight.